So let's
Yeah.
begin with a word of prayer as we consider God's word together. Almighty God, as we consider your word, we pray that you'll grant us understanding and encouragement through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, the topic for this evening is entitled Three Ordinances to Mark a New Journey from Exodus. This was from some reflections from my Sunday school study on Exodus, and I thought I would share it with everybody. You know, when God first delivered his people from Exodus, as they were leaving on their journey to the promised land, they were leaving with very little. They were leaving in haste and they just grabbed whatever they had with them. Of course, God was with them. That was the most important person to be with them. But also God gave them three things to remember along their journey. We call these three things ordinances, because these things are something they have to observe, they have to remember, to commemorate something about what God has done for them. And these were the three ordinances. They were taken, if you look at the text from Exodus 12 and 13, over those two chapters, these are the three ordinances. The first ordinance was the ordinance of the Passover lamb. They were to take a lamb, specifically a lamb without blemish, a male of the first year, and this lamb had to be slaughtered on the 14th day of the first month of the year. And it wasn't one person that was going to kill this lamb, but the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel was to kill it together, collectively. And the second ordinance is taken from Exodus chapter 12, verse 18, that from the 14th day of the month to the 21st day of the month, over that period, they were to eat only unleavened bread. As you know, they were always eating bread with leaven, that is yeast. But for those 7 days, they were to eat specifically only unleavened bread. So that was the second ordinance. The third ordinance is taken from Exodus 13, verse 2. And that was a specific instruction to dedicate their firstborn to God. God wanted them to show that they were giving something back to him. And so he required of them to sanctify the firstborn unto himself. So these were three instructions given to God's people to help them remember what God had done for them in the land of Egypt. Now let us look at each of these ordinances in turn. I wanted to say that also that even till this day, observant Jews practice these three ordinances to fulfill the command given to them by God in Exodus. And for us as Christians, even though we do not practice these ordinances, these practices actually remind us of our own journey in our relationship with the same God that delivered the Jews from Egypt. So let us look at these three ordinances in turn. Firstly, the ordinance of the Passover lamb. This was an ordinance to remind them how God delivered their firstborn from every household from death. That lamb was, of course, you know, when they painted the blood of that lamb on the doorpost, when the angel of death passed over, when God saw that blood, he would pass over them. But this lamb, if you look at the details of Exodus, if you look at the account of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we see in the details of foreshadowings. We see various foreshadowings. Just as the lamb in Exodus was without blemish, so was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. That's from 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was pure and holy. Just as the lamb in Exodus was a male that was in the first year, which was the prime of his life, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died at the age of 33, which is physiologically the prime of a human's life. And just as the whole assembly was instrumental in killing that lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was killed collectively by his own people. And in both instances, blood was applied, hyssop was applied, and in both situations, not a bone was broken. And so, whilst the ordinance of the sacrifice of the Passover lamb reminds the Jews of how God delivered their firstborn from death, this ordinance should remind us of the sacrifice that Christ made for us some 1,400 years after the event. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 reminds us that Jesus is the Passover lamb. The Passover ordinance therefore reminds us of our salvation. So that's the first ordinance. Let's look at the second ordinance. The second ordinance is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. For 7 days on the first month of the year, they were to take only unleavened bread. And this was a way of reminding them that when they left Egypt, they were getting rid of their old lifestyle. You see, the culture was such that every time they baked a batch of bread, they would use dough from the previous batch to allow the bread to be leavened from the current batch. So they're always taking dough from the previous batch, which contained yeast within it, to allow the dough from the current batch of bread to rise. So to get rid of the endless recycling of that yeast, they would have to get rid of this once and for all by fully unleavening their bread once and for all. And therefore, unleavening their bread reminds them that they are discarding the ways of the past. And so this feast, for us as Christians, should remind us too of our need to abandon our old lifestyle, our old sins that permeate our life, just as yeast does with bread, when we seek a new life in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us that therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So this feast of the unleavened bread reminds us of our sanctification. The first ordinance, the Passover lamb, our salvation. The second ordinance, our sanctification. Now let us turn our attention to the third ordinance, and that is the dedication of the firstborn. And this feast, commemoration reminds each family that having been delivered from the slavery of Egypt and having been able to discard the ways of the past, the old lifestyle, they are now to return something valuable to God. And whilst we as Christians do not practice this ordinance in its own right, it should remind us when we read the book of Exodus that we too need to return something to God, whether it be our time or wealth or our talents. We need to serve Him. And hence, the dedication of the firstborn ordinance reminds us of our service for God. So in the same way that the three ordinances that were given to the Jews reminded them of what God had done for them, these three ordinances reminds us of our own journey after we leave the slavery of the dominion of sin, as we journey in the wilderness of life, as we head towards that promised land. We remind ourselves that what has God has done for us, salvation, sanctification, and service. And this, in fact, is our church vision and mission, to build a united church family that is committed to making disciples of Jesus Christ through salvation, through sanctification, and service to the glory of God. Now, the sequence of ordinances is not a coincidence. Following salvation, we must sanctify our lives first before we serve God. Service to God should only come after we have purpose to discard our old sinful habits and exchange our old life for the new. And this sequence is also made clear in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, that famous verse, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that salvation is the gift of God." And then in verse 10, it reminds us that following salvation, we should have service to God because we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. However, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, we are reminded that before that service is to come, a man should purge himself from these meaning iniquity, and when he does so, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared well for every good work. So the sequence in the New Testament is exactly the same sequence as the ordinances that they represent in Exodus. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 also reminds us that when we serve God, it has to be a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So the harmony of scriptures is clear, and we have a living God that speaks through the ages. And although when we hear that it has to be salvation, sanctification, and service, I think many of us would feel a little bit perhaps disturbed, because none of us are perfect and none of us are fully holy. But we must understand that as Christians, because we have a fallen body, we will still sin, although sin should no longer have dominion over us. Paul says that, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And he laments that the things that I don't want to do, I do. So, you know, we will still err, but the overall progress should be that righteousness now has dominion over us, and that should improve day by day. Therefore, let us not use the fact that we are not fully perfect to make any excuses not to serve God. That balance has to be struck because we are not sinless. In fact, part of the sanctification process is actually growing in Christ through our service to Him. And we are familiar with how when we see our ministry being blessed and we are part of it, how we grow in our faith, how we are encouraged by our fellow brethren, and when we serve Him, we also grow in the process. Let us also remember that to serve God is a great privilege. Because in the Old Testament, the firstborn of each family that was supposed to be dedicated to God actually lost the right to serve God. And this is likely because of the golden calf incident, where all of Israel turned away from God except the Levitical tribe. Therefore, in Numbers chapter 3, verse 12, God said that, "Behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine." So God wanted the Levitical tribe to serve Him instead of the firstborn of every family. That means that, in essence, the common man of Israel lost the privilege to serve God because the firstborn of every family could no longer serve God, and the Levitical priesthood took his place. But later on, when God gave us what was most valuable to Him, His own Son who was the firstborn in the family of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 said that reminds us that He is the firstborn amongst many brethren. The rest of us are adopted children of God. We're in that family. But Christ is the eminent one, the first rank of the highest order. When we say He's firstborn, we don't mean that He was created. We know that before Abraham was, I am. He's self-existent, but He's firstborn in the sense that He's the preeminent one amongst the family of God, amongst the adopted children. He's also the firstborn of all creation, Colossians chapter 1, 15. When God gave us His firstborn, He graciously restored the common man's right to serve Him, calling us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. And that word royal priesthood should remind us that we take back what the Levitical priesthood had. And that is easy to understand because the firstborn of God's family, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was also a great high priest. And because He was a great high priest, He removed and obviated the Levitical priesthood, paving the way for all of us, blood-bought children, to be His servants as a royal priesthood. So we can serve God because He gave us His firstborn. And we can serve God because His firstborn was the great, or is the great high priest. We must therefore understand that it is a great privilege to be in this position of being able to serve God. Common men lost that privilege to serve God in the Old Testament, but that has been restored as a royal priesthood for us. And so sometimes we may feel discouraged and tired, and I do too. But sometimes, even though we feel this way, let us not take this privilege for granted. Let us rejuvenate ourselves with the reminder that it is a great privilege to serve God, because not only did salvation come at a price, so did our sanctification. It came at the price of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And even our right to serve is a privilege, and it was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when we are able to serve and we don't serve, we frustrate the grace of God. Just as if we don't sanctify ourselves, or we don't come to the saving knowledge of Christ if we have heard the gospel. Now, service to God may be in our own personal capacity. Many of us will not have the privilege of being pastors who are the under shepherd of the flock. But a royal priesthood for each and every one of us means that within our own spheres of influence, we are to encourage those around us and to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whether they be Christians or non-Christians, we need to reach out to them and present them perfect in Christ Jesus. But serving God is also serving God in the church. Ephesians reminds us that the church is a whole body, and every part of the body needs to work together for the church to function. One of the things I realized when I joined session 3 years ago was I was totally shocked at how much things were going on in order for this church to function. And there are so many areas that need help. Whether you're an accountant, your help is needed in the in the church finances, or even for various situations where we take our accounts into when we look at our accounts. If you have experience in the building industry or renovations, we need you in an estate management committee. If you have experience with PA and technology, we are in desperate need of you. And the list goes on. Traffic warden, which many of us can do. So there are many areas that we can serve in. It is a great privilege to serve. Let us not take the path of convenience, but let us remember what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. So tonight, let us remember three things. Firstly, the fact that the Old Testament ordinances foreshadows our journey reminds us that we worship the true and living God. Because only the true and living God, God's voice, can speak over thousands of years. And that's when we see how the New Testament gels with the Old Testament. Secondly, let us remind ourselves that the sequence of the three ordinances reminds us of our own journey and our relationship with God that we have to observe, that of salvation, sanctification, and service. And so whenever we read Exodus, we should be reminded of that. And thirdly, let us remind ourselves how it is a great privilege for us to serve God and to serve Christ, because it was Christ's sacrifice for us that restored our right to serve Him. And so, Feast of Passover is salvation, Feast of Unleavened Bread is sanctification, and the dedication of firstborn reminds us of our service for Him. May the ordinances of Exodus 12 and 13 remind us of our own obligations to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank You for Your word, Your precious word. Lord, we are amazed to see how, even though Exodus was written thousands of years ago, it speaks of our own journey today, and it shows that You're a true and living God speaking through the ages. We thank You for the three ordinances of Exodus that reminds us of our own journey as we go on towards that promised land. And we thank You for the reminder that service to You is a great, great privilege that was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Help us therefore to serve You with all our hearts and souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.